It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when it happened. Most biblical scholars believe the day was Friday, April 3rd, 33 AD. This past Friday, 2 days ago, was Friday, April 3rd. If that date is correct, today being Sunday, April 5th, it would have been 1,993 years ago that it happened. If that date is correct, and I believe it is, we are 7 years short of 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross. 1,993 years ago, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, something happened that forever changed the world. It is the reason that we assemble at the church this weekend, because something happened 1,993 years ago that forever changed not just the world, but it changed my life. It changed your life. And I do mean forever changed our lives. The Jews call it the ninth hour. We call it 3 o'clock p.m. And that's when it happened. Matthew 27, verse 50. If you're a visitor with us, every scripture that I plan to use today is on the back of that bulletin for you to read for yourself. There will be little blanks. You can fill in those blanks and stay up with the message today. Verse 50. Then Jesus shouted out again and released his spirit. I want you to think about the creator of the universe releasing his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. Rocks split apart. And tombs opened. And the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people, dead people coming out of the graves. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 1,993 years ago, Jesus released his spirit. Jesus died on a cross. The earth shook in that moment when Jesus gave up his spirit. The earth, the planet that he created, shook in the moment. The earth shook literally. Matthew records the earthquake and rocks are splitting apart. The curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place was torn from top to bottom. All of this when Jesus gives up his spirit. The curtain, it separated. What had separated man from the presence of God was removed when Jesus gave up his spirit. And this is the dramatic part. Dead people, both men and women, came to life, climbed out of their graves, and walked into the city of Jerusalem, revealing themselves, I suppose, to loved ones that had previously attended their funeral. You might not think that would be a big deal until they came to your house. And I want to ask a question that I will ask multiple times today. Can your mind grasp this scene? Can your mind grasp this truth? And the reason I ask the question is there are many that cannot. Either they will not or they cannot, I don't know. But the earth is shaking and people are coming out of their graves when Jesus breathes his last breath. When Jesus gave, there's so much I don't understand. Listen, There's so many mysteries to what happened. And one of the mysteries is how and when they got back into their graves. These people got out of their graves when Jesus died, and how and when they went back into their graves, I don't know. But this I do know. When Jesus gave up his spirit, the resurrections began. And that's why we're here today. The resurrections began, and a new way to God had been opened. This event, 1993 years ago, was so powerful and so clear that the Gentile soldier, the Roman soldier, not just one, but multiple soldiers on the scene that day became believers in Jesus Christ. Nobody preached to them. No one sat down and told them the gospel. Just being there, seeing what happened, they became believers because of a dead man hanging on a tree. Matthew 27:54. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. It had gone dark. The sky had gone dark. And they said, more than one, a Gentile soldiers, this man truly was the Son of God. So I ask all of you today, do you see it? Gentiles were becoming believers and publicly declaring Jesus as the Son of God. Do you see it? The earth is shaking and people are coming out of their graves. Do you see it? If you read the rest of the Bible, you'll find out that all this is going to happen again one day. All of this, what I just described to you, is going to happen again one day, but the next time it'll be worldwide. The earth will shake and people are going to come out of their graves. This is a preview event of an event that will happen at the end of the days of man. The earth again will shake and people will come out of their graves and proclaim that he is the Son of God. Just like that day. The Gentiles of the world, the church, that have proclaimed Jesus as the Son of God will suddenly be raised from the dead and join their King Jesus in the clouds. And I ask you a second time, today, right now, can your mind grasp this truth? Do you believe that that literally, physically happened 1993 years ago? I believe that rapture event will happen 7 years before they all come back to the earth in resurrected bodies to Jerusalem for Jesus' coronation as king, the eternal heir to the throne of David. So let's keep going. Past the events of Friday, April 3rd, 33 AD. Let's jump to a day relevant for us right now. Sunday, April 5th. Today is Sunday, April 5th. 1993 years ago today, 7 years. Do you realize right now today, we are 7 years today short of 2,000 years. The year 2033 will be 2,000 years since the death and resurrection of Jesus. It was early in the morning, just after daybreak, when it happened. An event that would forever change the world. There was another resurrection about to happen. But this time the resurrection would be permanent. Forever permanent. Those people who had came out of their graves at Jesus' death would have to go back into their graves at some point. But Jesus' resurrection would be permanent. A man, understand he was a man, would rise from the dead, never to die again. This is the resurrection into eternal life. And this changes everything. Nothing would ever be the same. A bodily resurrection into eternal life. He will not become a ghost. He will not become a spirit. He will not become a phantom. He will become resurrected flesh. A resurrected man. Never to die again. And let me assure you, all of us who are mortals, this changes everything. Jesus declared this truth about a bodily resurrection into eternal life before he ever went to the cross. He told them. But their minds could not grasp it. Many people today, your mind cannot or will not grasp it. But he told them in Luke 20, verse 35, you have to ask the question, what will life in a resurrected body be like? I'm curious. I know what life is like in the mortal body, but what is life like in the resurrected body? And again, there's so many mysteries about that. So let's focus on what we do know. Jesus gives us one little glimpse. Verse 35. But in the age to come, we're talking about in the resurrected life world. In the age to come, those worthy of being raised from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. I found that scripture makes some people happy and some people sad. I'm not going to ask you which one you are. And they will never die again. In this respect, they will be like angels. That doesn't mean you're going to become an angel. You weren't an angel in this life. You won't be an angel in that life either. They are children of God. And children of the resurrection. Can your mind grasp this truth today? Do you believe that with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? It changes everything. This same truth would later be revealed to the Apostle Paul, who reveals it to the Gentile church in Rome and to us here today. Romans 6, verse 9. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. And if he is in me, death no longer has any power over me. Now back to the event. Sunday, April 5th, 33 AD. 1993 years ago today, the day that everything changed, a man, the Son of God, would rise from the dead and never die again. Let me read it to you, the story from the book of Matthew. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. And then the angel spoke to the women. He's not talking to the soldiers. They passed out. And the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said it would happen." He told you, but your minds wouldn't grasp it. "Come see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and you, women, you will see him with your eyes. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. This is where today's sermon title comes in. At this point, the women only see the angel, not the resurrected Jesus himself. Yes, the angel is convincing proof, and yes, the Roman soldiers also saw the angels, scared them to death, and they passed out in fear. But they haven't seen resurrected Jesus, not yet. 40 days plus one. Maybe you've never looked at the resurrection story this way, but I want you to understand that in this moment, on Sunday morning, April 5th, 33 AD, a 40-day countdown began. 40 days. And at the end of the 40 days, Jesus was going to leave. But a countdown has begun. The soldiers and the women have encountered the angel, but not Jesus, not yet. But the women are about to, inside a 40-day countdown window that began with Jesus' resurrection. What happened in those 40 days? And what does it mean to us? And what about the plus one? Matthew 28, verse 8. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them. Think of how big that sentence is. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee. And they, not just you, but they will see me there." 40 days plus one. Jesus is going to make multiple appearances to multiple people during the next 40 days before he leaves, before he ascends to his Father from the Mount of Olives on the east side of Jerusalem. My listing of events today inside these 40 days will not include everything, but just about everything. The tomb is in Jerusalem. And Jesus begins to reveal himself in his resurrected body to the people in Jerusalem. It began with the women at the tomb when he says, "Don't be afraid, go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee. And they will see me there." Galilee's 70 miles from Jerusalem. But then Jesus surprises them by appearing to the 10. And you might wonder, why 10? Thomas is not there, not in this scene, and Judas has hung himself. But they're in Jerusalem, and it's still Sunday. John 20, verse 19. That Sunday evening, 1993 years ago today, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." 40 days plus one. This is day one in Jerusalem, and Jesus has revealed himself in his resurrected body to the women, number one, and now to the 10 apostles. The Bible doesn't specifically say, but I suppose he disappeared from the 10 in the same way he appeared. Suddenly, in his resurrected body, the doors are locked, but it doesn't matter. He walks through the wall. That gives you an idea of what the resurrected flesh will be able to do in the future. The next one is on the same day. It's still Sunday. And Jesus reveals himself to the men on the road to Emmaus. We're still in Sunday, just outside Jerusalem. Luke 24:13. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened, which tells me they had been in Jerusalem for the crucifixion. They had seen all of that, but now they're going home to Emmaus. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. 40 days plus 1. First the women, then the 10, and now the 2 men. They are followers of Christ on the road to Emmaus. All of that happened on Sunday, Resurrection Day, 1993 years ago today. Isn't that interesting? And today for us, listen, church, we are seven years short of 2,000 years since that day. So let's fast forward 1 week. And now Thomas has joined the group of 10. Verse 24. One of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And they told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he, Thomas, replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound of his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. And the doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace with you," he said. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side, and don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. And then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Now I'm going to stop in the story and ask you the question again. Can your mind grasp this truth today? Thomas couldn't until he saw him physically. They told him, all of the 10 guys said, "We saw him. We touched him. We ate. We watched him eat fish." They couldn't grasp it. But now Thomas has seen him. And it took seeing for him to believe. And then Jesus says something that has an impact on every one of us in the room right now. He says, "You believe because you saw me. Blessed are future generations that will believe in me who will never see me. They will hear the message and believe the message without ever seeing my face and touching my hands." I hope that's you. I hope today, if you haven't already gotten that blessing, I hope you get that blessing today. 40 days plus 1. Let's fast forward again. But now we've moved from Jerusalem to Galilee, to the place where most of those disciples received their original calling some 3 years earlier. This time, at the Sea of Galilee, Jesus reveals himself to 7 of the 11 apostles. Now, you need to understand something. When I say that Jesus is now going to appear to his 7 apostles in Galilee, do you recognize that's 70 miles from Jerusalem? Now, that's not a big deal for us to travel 70 miles, but they didn't have cars. And 70 miles in that day would have probably taken them about 4 to 5 days to walk it. So when it says they've gone to Galilee to meet Jesus, they've walked 5 days to meet him. John 21, verse 1. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. That would be seven people. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. I've had several of those experiences in my lifetime. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was, and he called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw your net out on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." Now, if you're a fisherman, you would think, "No, that's foolish." But they don't know who he is, not yet. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Do you realize that's how it all started? 3 years before, for most of these guys, it started how? Peter, Andrew, James, John started how? Jesus told them to throw the net out, and they caught so many fish they couldn't get them in. They rush to the shore in this scene, and they find that Jesus has prepared a meal for them. Verse 9, when they got there, they found breakfast was waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Now, I'm going to stop in the story and ask a physical question. What do you think that breakfast tasted like? The creator of the universe just fixed breakfast. Now, we know that he's unlimited in power and scope, but can he cook? Can you imagine there was ever a piece of fish that tasted better, or a piece of bread that tasted better than what they ate that morning? And I'm going to ask you again, you ready? Can your mind grasp this truth? The Son of God is serving them a meal. The creator of the universe, the resurrected creator of the universe, has prepared a meal for them. 40 days plus one. I have two more to show you, and then we're going to get into this curious plus one. They are all still in Galilee for this scene, which we call the Great Commission. Verse 16, Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. There's a frightening sentence. And it's frightening for me today. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some still doubted. In the midst of all of this revelation of his resurrection, there are still some people who don't believe. They still doubted him. And Jesus came and he told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth." It's all mine, all of it, forever. It's all mine. Everybody understand that? It's all mine, everything. I have been given all authority, heaven, earth, it's all mine. So here's what I want you to do. Now that it's all mine, here's what I expect of you, disciples, followers. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Can your mind grasp this today? Here's the test. I believe he's here right now. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am here in the person of the Holy Spirit with you right now, this moment, beside me, right now, inside me, right now, right now. Can your mind grasp this? It changes everything about your life. Everything is changed. All power, all dominion, all authority has been given to him. And he's given us instructions. Now go tell everybody this wonderful news. You don't have to die in that old body. I will give you a new resurrected body that's eternal. Can your mind grasp it? There are more than likely. There were people there that doubted that day. There are people in this room more than likely right now that if you're honest, you don't really believe it either. Not really. Maybe philosophically, but not in reality. The final scene occurred at the end of the 40 days. I told you, there's 40 days, and then he goes home to his father. This happens in the final scene of the 40 days. And it happens on the Mount of Olives just outside the eastern gate of Jerusalem, which tells me they've had to walk 5 days back to Jerusalem now. In Acts 1, verse 3, during the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. He's not a ghost. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized you with water, but just a few days, in just a few days, by the way, it'll be 10 days later, 10 days later, in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" And he replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. It will begin in Jerusalem, it'll go to Judea, it'll go to Samaria, and you will cover the earth with a message." You will. Why? Because the power of the Spirit will cause you to do it. And after saying that, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could see him. They could no longer see him. That's 40 days. 40 days. 10 days later, he's gone home. He's gone. They can no longer see him. He's not appearing to people anymore. 10 days later in Jerusalem, which is now 50 days after the crucifixion, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and the church of Jesus Christ was born on the earth 1,993 years ago. And we right now, listen, church, are 7 years short of 2,000 years since that event. But what about plus one? I wonder how many of you have figured out what this is yet. Some of you cheated. You were here for the earlier services. When the church was born that day in Jerusalem, please listen. When the church was born that day, 50 days after the cross, there were no Gentiles in the story. Zero. There were only Jewish people. Do you know that? The 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension were Jesus revealing himself to the Jews and the Jewish disciples and apostles. No Gentiles. And in case you grew up not knowing what a Gentile was, it's you. It's us. Gentiles are simply non-Jewish people. Now for the plus one. Some people would say, "Well, preacher, what about the Roman soldier at the cross? He came to the conclusion by watching the crucifixion that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And what about Cornelius? Remember the Roman centurion that Peter baptized, him and his whole family? But do you understand that the story of Cornelius, if you study the chronology of Scripture, the story of Cornelius didn't happen until about 8 to 10 years after Jesus went home to be with his Father. So today I'm going to focus my plus one on a different day. It's the day that Jesus reveals himself to a Jew and then tells the Jew to go and tell the Gentiles about the resurrection into eternal life. This is our, what I'm about to tell you is our plus one day. And I'm going to ask you beforehand, can your mind grasp this truth? The plus one day will happen. Are you ready? Between 4 and 7 years after the resurrection of Jesus. The Bible doesn't give a concise date, but we know it's probably between 4 and 7 years. So the first 4, maybe 7 years of the gospel preaching on planet Earth was to the Jews only. Not to you. That door was closed until plus one, our big day. Acts 9, verse 3. His name is Saul. We know him mostly as the Apostle Paul. As he, Saul, was approaching Damascus on this mission, what's his mission? Stamp out Christianity. He doesn't believe Jesus is Messiah. He thinks he's a false teacher. On his road to Damascus, on the mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. And he, Saul, fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked, and the voice replied, I am Jesus. I want you to imagine, what do you think his feeling is in that moment? I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. You know what I'm thinking? Saul's thinking, oh no. Oh no. You're real? You're God? Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. Please don't miss this. This scene blinded him, but before it blinded him, he saw him. Do you realize nobody has seen him since he went back into heaven until this plus one day? But he saw him. Can your mind grasp this moment? Jesus really is God? It knocked Saul to the ground. And what did Jesus tell him to do? Acts 9, verse 15. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument. Are you ready? This is our plus one event. Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles. Somebody say hallelujah. Maybe it's been 7 years. Maybe it's been 10. I don't know how long. It's been years. But now, finally, take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings and to the people of Israel. 40 days plus one. Jesus reveals himself as a man who has been raised from the dead to never die again. He reveals himself as God in the flesh. And he reveals himself so that people would believe that the impossible is no longer impossible. That Apostle Paul, the one called to the Gentile, to tell the Gentile world, do you realize that he wrote most of the New Testament under the power of the Holy Spirit? And he wrote this, 1 Corinthians 15. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. And he was seen by Peter and then the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And then he was seen by James and later all the apostles. And last of all, this is our day. This is the plus one. And last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, the Apostle Paul, I saw him. for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. Now you know why this message on Easter. Now you know what they knew. See, I believe we're all personally accountable for what we know. And now you know what they knew. 40 days plus one. And I'm going to ask a question. What are you going to do with what you now know? Can your mind grasp this truth? And what are you going to do with what you now know? Now, here's my closing. It's quite possible that today, I know the Jewish calendar is different, so please don't send me an email. I recognize very clearly that the Jewish calendar is lunar, our calendar is solar, which means their calendar has 360 days, ours has 365. I get all that, okay? It is quite possible that today is 1,993 years to the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And right now, if that number is correct, and I believe it is, we are exactly 7 years short of 2,000 years since Jesus died and rose from the dead. Jesus used 40 days plus one to prove that he experienced a bodily resurrection from the dead. And I got a question. Why 40? He could use whatever number he wants, I guess, but why 40? I find that 40 is an interesting number in the Bible. 40 days, and then 40 days. He rises from the dead. At the end of the 40 days, he goes and sits at the right hand of the Father, and it's years before he comes back for one day to tell Paul to tell the world, the Gentiles, the door's open, come through the door. Why 40? You ever heard that number before? Noah's flood, 40 days. Moses was on the mountain with God, 40 days. Actually, he did it twice, 40 days. The 12 spies in the promised land, 40 days. The giant Goliath taunted Israel, 40 days, until David put a rock in his forehead. Jonah preached to the great city of Nineveh. And what did he preach? He preached for 40 days to the great city of Nineveh. And what did he preach? He preached this message: you've got 40 days to repent or perish. Jesus fasted and was tested by the devil for 40 days in the wilderness. And Jesus revealed the resurrection of the dead to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people, for 40 days. Listen, and then he left. And then he left. But there was a plus one. I don't know about you, but I celebrate today plus one. Jesus came back. There's no record except this day that he came back to physically reveal his resurrected self to the apostle who would share this wonderful good news with the Gentiles around the world. And I'm going to read it to you today on Easter Sunday. Colossians 1:26. This message was kept secret for centuries. What message? What secret? It was kept secret from the Gentiles for maybe 10 years after the resurrection. What message? What secret? It was kept secret for centuries and generations past. But now it's been revealed. Now it's been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. Somebody say hallelujah. That's why we're here. That the riches and glory of Christ are for the Gentiles too. I opened the door for you. I opened the door for the Gentile world. Do you understand something, church? One day that door will close. When the full number of Gentiles comes in, Paul says the door will close. And he tells the church in Philadelphia, the door I open, no one can shut. The door I shut, no one can open. But it's open today. The door's open. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. This is the secret that was kept secret for generations past. Christ lives in you. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Christ lives in you. It's the secret. They don't know. Can your mind grasp it? Many doubted. Many are still doubting. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So today, I close this 40-day plus one message with a series of what I call crazy what-if questions. 16 of them. 16 what-if questions. Ready? This is when it gets interesting. What if it's really been exactly 1,993 years today? That would be my Friday sermon. Since Jesus died on the cross. What if? And what if our year 2026 is 1,993 years since the death of Jesus, and we are 7 years short of 2,000 years right now? What if? Number three. What if a day unto the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day to God? And by the way, that comes from those two scriptures where God says openly that for me in heaven, a day is like 1,000 years to you earth people. What if? And what if the Bible measures 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham is like 2 days in the creation story? And 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus is like 2 days in the creation story. And that would equal 4 days or 4,000 years before Jesus died on the cross. 4,000 years to God is like 4 days. What if? And what if you add 7 years to our year 2026? You would come to the year 2033, which is 2,000 years since the death of Jesus in 33 AD. What if? And what if 7 years from now, year 2033, is 6,000 years or 6 days from God's perspective since the creation event of God? What if? And what if that 2,000-year milestone, our year 2033, actually represents the seventh day, the Sabbath day of God's creation? The beginning of the 1,000 years of rest on the earth when Jesus will reign with peace, righteousness, and justice on this present earth. What if? And what if the plan of God from the time of Abraham was to give the Jews 2,000 years or 2 days, and then he would give the Gentile church 2,000 years or 2 days? And then Jesus would come to Jerusalem and reign as king during the Sabbath, the 1,000 years for one day or the seventh day, completing the 7 days of God's creation event. What if? That's 8 questions. Y'all having fun yet? Okay. A lot of what ifs. Number 9, what if the 7-year tribulation comes before the return of Jesus to reign in Jerusalem? What if? And what if you subtract 7 years from the year 2033 to allow for the 7-year tribulation? What if? And what if that number ends up revealing this year, 2026? What would you think about that? Could your mind grasp that reality? What if? Number 12. What if God plans to come and snatch his church from the earth before the tribulation begins? What if? And what if the events of Jesus' death on the cross are a shadow of what's coming in the last days? Do you see it? Roman soldiers, Gentiles, were becoming believers and declaring Jesus as the Son of God, which is representative of what we call the church age, the 2 days, the 2,000 years we've been given Christ. And do you see it? The earth shaking and people are coming out of their graves, and that is representative of the rapture, because one day the earth will shake and people are going to come out of their graves. What if? And what if this series of crazy questions is really not so crazy at all? Now, listen, I'm not setting dates. I'm not setting dates. My purpose is very clear: to try to make sure that every one of you can grasp the reality of our current circumstance. If you believe that he was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose, you must also believe that he is coming again. And I found that it's really easy to believe historical data and not trust anything current. What if? Number 15, what if today you are Nineveh and I am Jonah and you have 40 days to repent or perish? What if? And the reason I pause on this one is this. I've been here 26 years in May. And I've traveled a lot and met a lot of people in these 26 years. And everybody that I meet outside of this church that finds out that I'm from Nineveh Christian Church always asks me, who would name a church Nineveh? They're the bad guys in the Old Testament. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Nobody wants to go to Nineveh. And what did Jonah do? Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh, this evil city, and tell them to repent or perish, and you got 40 days. And you know the amazing thing? They were the evil people. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and they were rotten. They repented. Last one. What would you do? What if? Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. I didn't name this church Nineveh. I do like to fish, but I don't want to be eaten by fish. And this is what Jesus says to all of us today on Easter weekend. In Luke 11:32, he says this: the people of Nineveh will also stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it, for they repented of their sins at the preaching of little old Jonah. And now someone greater than Jonah is here. But you still refuse to repent. And you know what the one greater than Jonah says to the world? Do you know what the message of God that will be carried to the whole world is? Luke 24:47. We're going to read it aloud together, and then I'm going to offer an invitation time. It was also written that this message, read it with me. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. What's the message? There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. That's the message. That's the gospel. I'll ask Chad to come on out for the invitation. That's it. We need to know that Jesus died and was buried and he rose from the dead. Those are all foundations. But you know what the message is that was carried to the whole world? It's not historical. It's relative to today, this moment, this room, right now. There is forgiveness of sins to all who repent. Any sin in your life, repent. Turn to God. Acknowledge that sin. Confess that sin. He will forgive that sin. He will cleanse you. You will find peace with God. But if you refuse that word repentance, you refuse the Savior who died and rose again. So today we sing an invitation time. And it's a time in which the Lord invites you to come and believe that he is who he says he is. If you are in Christ today, celebrate, sing this song in celebration. But if you're under conviction of the Spirit about repentance, then today repent while there is time. In Jesus' name, let's stand.